Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. So here at Westview, we have been studying Scripture throughout the season of Lent, and we have been guided by a verse in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel." And that has been, every time we have gathered together, we have been reminded of another piece of the good news of Jesus, the story of Jesus. And we're going to do the same thing again tonight, even on this Good Friday. We want to be reminded of the gospel. And tonight we want to be reminded of the gift that it is that Jesus died for us. Now, we're not going to explore tonight the details of a crucifixion narrative. We're not going to get into all the weeds and all the details of the horrors of the crucifixion punishment itself. We're not going to talk about the trial that was a travesty. We're not going to talk about the crowds and the chief priests and the soldiers who are mocking. We're not going to have a long expose on that final breath of Jesus. We're not going to talk so much about the moment that Jesus died. But tonight we want to be reminded of the impact that Jesus' death has upon us. What it means to us, what it does for us. Now, before we read this scripture passage here in Romans, I want to give you just a little bit of a warning. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing, and the Apostle Paul goes into repeat mode. Do you know what repeat mode is? Repeat mode is when you say the same thing over and over again, only using different words and phrases. It's getting the same point across, but coming at it from different angles. It's conveying the same message, but putting a slightly different spin on it to make it sound unique, only it's not unique. It's passing along the same idea, but in slightly different ways. You got it? Yes? Repeat mode. And Paul is a repeat mode master. And he is on full display in this passage. But understandably so. Because he is communicating in these verses something that is so incredible and so profound and so important for us to grasp. What Jesus' death on the cross does for us. So check this out with me here. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. The Apostle Paul says this, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if, by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Repeat mode, yes? You hear it? But what is Paul saying here over and over and over and over again? What he's doing is he's comparing the one sin of Adam and the effects that it had on the whole world, on every single person who walked on the earth since Adam and who will ever walk on the earth. He's comparing that one sin with what he calls the gift. He names it five times in the span of three verses. The gift, that is the one act done by Jesus Christ after all the trespasses that overflows to the many. That's what he's talking about each and every time there's a new verse. And I think that this is one of those passages that is almost as helpful for us to see as it is to hear. So here's what we're going to try this evening. You might be able to see it. If not, feel free to peek around or even stand up, but I have a hula hoop on the stage here. And the purpose for this hula hoop is we're going to pretend that inside this hula hoop is a relationship with God, is us in relationship with our God. And outside of this hula hoop is death. Now, we know from the first chapter of Scripture, God created all things, including Adam and Eve, and everything was good. And Adam and Eve were living in wonderful relationship with God. It was great. It was pure. It was holy. It was wonderful. Living in relationship with God. But what does Paul say in our passage? But then sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. This crumpled piece of paper is going to represent the one sin Adam committed. He's in relationship with God. He commits a sin. And no longer is this relationship ever the same. No longer is this relationship pure and holy as it once was. This relationship now is disrupted. And Adam now becomes familiar with death. Death becomes a reality because of his one sin. And not just Adam, but everyone. Every single person who has ever breathed a single breath on this earth is affected by the one sin of Adam. It says, Paul says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. In this way, death came to all because all sinned. We all now, we don't start out like Adam and Eve inside in the relationship with God. We all now start on the outskirts. We all start outside of that saving relationship with God because of that one tiny little crumpled up sin. This is our reality. Paul says it this way. Four different phrases. Paul says, judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. By the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man. As the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people. Through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. Again, repeat mode, saying the same thing from different ways. One man's single sin now means for us that we are sinful by nature. We are sinners. We commit sin, all of us. every single day. Maybe some of us every moment of every single day. The sins keep coming and coming and coming and coming. And it has been like that since the moment Adam committed the first sin. So let's see this. Here's what we're going to do. Earlier we got the pieces of scrap paper, yes? And we had a prayer of confession. And in the midst of that prayer of confession, you were invited to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and what sins we needed to confess before our God. And as we did so, we crumpled up these pieces of paper as a representation of us, of our sins. So here's what we're going to have to do. We recognize Adam sinned once. We are sinners. And so these sins are in effect because of this sin. And so these sins need to join Adam's sin. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. In just a moment, you're going to be invited to stand up. And we're kind of spread out a little bit. Maybe this side, you can just walk through the rows here. This side, if you want to go to the back and then come around, we're all going to come through our rows and we're going to come down this middle aisle here. And we're going to take our sins with us, these crumpled pieces of paper. You're going to come down the middle aisle here and we're going to cross past right here, right past the hula hoop here. And as we cross path, you're going to take your sins and you're going to toss them into the hula hoop. Now, as one of mine did there, it fell out of the hula hoop. That's okay. Don't worry about that. All right? But we're going to come past, take our sins. They're going to join Adam's one sin here. And then we're all going to walk past this way. You can go back to your seats down the angled aisle or around the outside aisle, however you want to get back to your seats, especially here on this side. Now, if you aren't comfortable coming forward or can't come forward, just invite someone else to carry those for you. They'll be happy to carry those up here at this time. And so what we're going to have you do is stand up with me. We're going to play music. And while you're doing this, I'm going to read a few scripture passages. Passages about the reality of what Scripture says about our sin. And so we're going to invite you to come. Susan's going to play. We're going to invite you to come down this middle aisle, take your sins with you, and bring them here along with Adam's sin. Please come and do that. But as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived amongst them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Jesus went on. He said, what comes out of a person is what makes them unclean. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a person unclean. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, I know it might be harder for some of us who are maybe further in the back. You're welcome to look and stand. I know maybe Monty's putting it on the screen there. It's an impressive collection. It certainly has grown since Adam's one sin, yes? And just think, it's a mere representative of just those of us who are here tonight. And we were given, what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 pieces of paper. I know I've got a lot more sin than that in my life. And then you think, we're just a few of us here tonight. And you start to think about not just us and not just all of our sins, but all the sins of all the people in all the world, every single person who has walked on this earth since the time of Adam. Maybe this will help give a little bit more perspective. Certainly has grown. Changes it a little bit, I think, but even as I look at that, it's still so woefully inadequate to the seemingly unlimited number of sins that have been committed since that one first sin of Adam. All of this because of one person's sin. And because of that one sin, we are now on the outside. We have no access into the middle. We have no access into the relationship. That one sin brought condemnation. Death now reigns. If you happen to have your Bibles open yet, look with me at verse 15. If there's one part of one verse that I want us to leave here with tonight, embedded upon our heart, it is the first few words of verse 15 where it says this, "But the gift is not like the trespass." But the gift is not like the trespass. Would you say that with me, please? But the gift is not like the trespass, right? We said Paul is in repeat mode, right? He says lots of words. He says lots of big words. He uses lots of phrases. He uses clauses and then clauses within clauses and so much more. But his entire message of what he says here in this part of Romans 5 can be understood and summarized with this simple message. Say it again with me. But the gift is not like the trespass. Here's what he means. One man sinned. And because of Adam's sin, we all sin and we all die. Right? Paul says many died by the trespass of one man. But because one man died, we all can live. Verse 16 says it well. Look at the middle of verse 16 with me. Paul writes this, "The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification." The gift is not like the trespass. In verse 18, I think he says it even more clearly. Look at verse 18. "Just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all people." The gift is not like the trespass. See, the gift of God is different. One sin ruined it all for everyone. And after all the ruining and all the sin and all the corruption and all the evil and all of this that we see up here, after all of this, it took one act of righteousness to make all of this go away. And that one act of righteousness was Jesus' death on the cross. The one act of righteousness, the one act of obedience committed by Jesus and by Him alone after all the sins of all the people and all the world, because of the one act of Jesus, many will be made righteous. This is the gift of God that is not like the trespass. And so if we go back to our illustration here and we see, right, there's a pile of sin here, yes? And it's all because of that one person's sin. And now, again, there's no way, there's no access for us to God. But Jesus comes. By the abundant provision of God's grace, Jesus comes. And Jesus, He who was without sin, He dies on the cross for our sins. Jesus who comes, He came for our sins and He paid it all, as we sang earlier tonight. He paid the punishment that our sins deserved. He paid the punishment of death. And in doing so, He removed every sin, every last one of them. He wiped them clean from our conscience. He wiped them clean from our guilt. He wiped them clean from our shame. He wiped them, purifying our soul. Jesus came and He wiped them clean. That's going to take a little bit. I got another idea here. Hey, this is what Jesus does. This is what the death of Jesus does. He wipes away, He sweeps away, He blows away all the sin, because the gift is not like the trespass. The one trespass brought death to all. But after all the trespasses, one death gave life to all. Friends, I want to remind us tonight of the gift that Jesus died for us. The gift of Jesus' death means that we can have forgiveness. Our debt is paid. When we go to God and we confess those sins and we crumple up that paper, when we confess those sins are forgiven. The punishment that we deserved has been paid for. The price tag is no longer ours to pay. We are forgiven. And in the gift of Jesus, His death for us, not only we're forgiven, but we are made righteous. We are made righteous. We when we turn over our lives to Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we are dead to sin. We are alive to God, as it says in the next chapter in Romans. So that means that sin is no longer our automatic default. It no longer holds sway over us. It no longer defines who we are. Instead, by the grace of God and by the gift of Jesus' death, we are made whole and holy. We are righteous. The gift of Jesus' death means not only are we forgiven, not only are we made righteous, but we are justified. That when God looks at us, He no longer looks at us. He no longer sees a pile of unrepentant, corrupting sin, but He looks at someone who has been restored in the name of Jesus Christ. By the work of Jesus on the cross, we are justified. We receive justification. And when we are forgiven and righteous and justified in God's sight, the gift of Jesus' death is that we can have life. This is what Paul says. The result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all people. Death through sin is no longer our reality. The way to God has been paved. Our relationship with God is restored. And now there is life, now and forever. Friends, let me remind us tonight of the gift that Jesus died for us. Amen. Throughout this series, and we'll continue in this series, we've started in 1 Corinthians 15. But a little earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul writes this. He's talking about the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And he says that when we come to the Lord's Supper and we eat this bread and we drink this cup, he says that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And I have to be honest with you, I've always been troubled by that. Why don't we proclaim his resurrection life? But maybe after tonight it makes a little more sense. That when we come and we eat this bread and we drink this cup and we proclaim the Lord's death, the gift that Jesus died for us, we proclaim this good news tonight. Forgiven, righteous, justified, alive. Tonight, friends, let's celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And in our celebration together, let us proclaim with gladness the death of Jesus Christ and what that means for us. Please pray with me. God, we worship you, we glorify you, we praise you this day for who you are and all that you have done. You've given us so much. But tonight we worship you, God, most of all for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, who is made flesh for us and for our salvation. And God, for this precious gift of a mighty and wonderful and holy and righteous Savior that has made us right with you, we worship and glorify your holy name. God, we remember tonight, in this moment, the perfect sacrifice that was offered by Jesus Christ on the cross for all the sin of all the people in all the world. God, even on this night, we do peek ahead just a little bit. And we remember that in just 3 short days, the tomb will be empty and Jesus rose again. And God, we name that as we come around this supper tonight, we peek even further ahead. And with great hope, we anticipate the day when Jesus will come again and all things will be made new and all things will be restored and sin and death will be forever defeated. Until then, God, we come again and again around the Lord's Supper here. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that as we eat this bread and drink this cup, it would be to us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we eat and drink together, we would be nourished and strengthened by your grace, O God. And we would indeed proclaim the gift that Jesus died for us. May it be so, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.